Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen and Outreach Ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part one of Sex and the Christian, as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 18, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
That our modern culture is obsessed with sexuality hardly needs proving. We are regularly bombarded with images and ideas that carry sexual connotations of one kind or another. Many in this generation see freedom of sexual expression as the most basic and essential human right. The most basic and essential human right, freedom of sexual expression. The culture's obsession with sexuality has also impacted the church. Many churches and entire denominations are in turmoil over issues pertaining to sexuality. In some cases, churches and even some denominations have been formed on the basis of the idea of sexual orientation. It seems that the world has gone absolutely mad over sex. I mean, you think about even our own government. And, you know, you look at the issues in our country and the problems that we have and the massive debt that we are under as a nation, and even bringing it closer to home as a state. I just read we are now $127 billion in debt in California. And I remember a few years ago when they recalled the governor because we were something like $45 billion in debt. Or I think it might have even been less than that. So things have just skyrocketed when it comes to our debt. And we've got tons of serious problems in our culture. But the irony is that our government seems to be more concerned and obsessed over sexuality than almost anything else. And all of the time and energy and effort, so much of it is being spent on making sure, you know, people have their reproductive rights and things of that nature. I mean, talk about a misnomer, reproductive right. It's really the right not to reproduce. That's what's really behind that whole idea. But it just shows you where the culture has just become this sex-obsessed culture. So, what is a Christian to do? What are we to do? Well, let's read a few verses here. Backing up to verse 18, we read it previously, but let me read it to you again. Chapter 6, verse 18, Paul says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Verse 2 of chapter 7, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband." So, first thing, what is a Christian to do? Paul says we are to flee sexual immorality. But once again, let's just make sure we understand what we're talking about when we use the term sexual immorality. What is sexual immorality? Well, we'll define it by what it's not. I'll just give you a definition. Sexual immorality is sexual relations with anyone other than your opposite sex legal spouse. Now we got to come up with new definitions today because of the insanity in our culture. But that's what sexual immorality is: sexual relations with anyone other than your opposite sex legal spouse. And here's what we need to understand. Doesn't matter what the government says. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court finally decides. Those things do not and will never alter what God has written in His Word. His Word stands firm. It's as certain and absolute and true today as it was when it was written. God will never sanction same-sex sexual relations. He will never do it. Now, governments will do it and churches will do it, but God will not sanction same-sex sexual relations. God will never sanction sexual relations outside of marriage. It doesn't matter how prevalent this becomes, it has become so prevalent in our culture. You know, in Britain today, and I think in much of Europe, it's very similar. But in the UK today, now we still, you know, refer to our spouse as our husband or wife or whatever. But you know, in the UK, they do not use those terms, generally speaking, these days. And especially in the culture at large, and especially coming through politics or media or whatever, they always refer to that other person as your partner. So as far as they're concerned, the whole marriage thing is, it just has absolutely nothing to do with anything. It has no bearing on anything. And they've just pretty much eliminated the terminology that is the traditional terminology, and it's beyond traditional, it's biblical terminology, of husband and wife, to where now it's just simply your partner. But again, even though the culture has come to that place, and that's happening here too, they've gone a bit ahead of us, but we need to understand, God will never sanction sexual relations outside of marriage. So even though man does away with marriage, God still holds it in a position of high honor. And those who have sexual relations outside of marriage, God considers them to be adulterers and fornicators. God will never sanction adulterous sexual relations. There's never a time when God approves of an adulterous sexual relationship. God will never sanction intimate sexual relations among non-married persons, even though they exclude sexual intercourse. Now, I have no intention of going into any detailed description of what that might include, but suffice it to say, some people, they rationalize and they justify their sexual activity by saying, well, you know, we didn't have intercourse, or, you know, we didn't go all the way. That still comes under the category of sexual immorality. And these are all of the things that we are told to stay away from. So that's what the scripture means when it says, flee sexual immorality. But here's the question, why? Why is this such a big deal? Why has God put the kibosh on such a fun thing, such a great thing? What is it that about the whole sex thing that, you know, God's set up these rules, or some would say, well, you know, you Christians say that God has set up these rules. Of course, many people would reject this. But why? Why is there such a thing as sexual immorality? Well, you know, I think first of all, we need to understand this. And this is true with homosexuality. This is true with gay marriage. It's across the board, whatever you want to look at, all the things that we've just described. If there is no God, then everything I said is meaningless. If there is no God, then there is no such thing as sexual immorality. If there is no God, then it's a free-for-all. Do what you want, doesn't matter. We're all here by accident anyway, and there are no rules, period, about anything, ultimately. Not just about sex, there really aren't any rules about anything. So you do whatever you want if there is no God, and if the Bible is not His word. But if there is a God and the Bible is his word, then we know that we are God's creatures. And although he made us as sexual creatures, he also made some rules about how to behave properly sexually. So that's why. Number one, it's because of God. It's because this is what God said. So why live a sexually moral life? Because, speaking to Christians, Paul says, because you are not your own, you belong to God. You're not your own. Now, the same can really be said of everybody, because nobody is their own creator. Nobody is responsible for their own existence. Nobody can keep themselves from death and judgment. So the fact that you're not your own, although it's applied here specifically to us, it generally is true as well. Nobody's their own. Everybody is a created being, and God is the creator. But we're looking at God's word to us as his people, so we stay away from sexual immorality because we belong to God. We're God's people. We're God's possession. And God has told us that we are to live a certain way, and in doing so, we please him. And if we refuse to do that, then we displease him. Secondly, we are to flee from sexual immorality, or to avoid sexual immorality, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And remember, God said, "Be holy, for I am holy." We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in us, and he is the Holy Spirit. And so anything unholy is something that we are told to abstain from, to avoid forms of unholiness. Thirdly, we are to abstain from sexual impurity, sexual immorality, because sexual immorality is a sin against the body that God created, that Jesus redeemed on the cross, and that you are to glorify God with. It's a sin against the body. Now, as Paul says here, and remember we talked about the mentality of the Corinthians being Greeks, they had this idea that it didn't really matter what you did with your body. The body was irrelevant. And all that really mattered was that you keep your spirit pure. Paul says, no. He that commits sexual immorality, or she that commits sexual immorality, either one, he says that person sins against their own body. Now, when you think about that, it's really true. Of course, we believe it's true. It's the word of God. But if you stop and think about what's being said here, sexual immorality is a sin against the body. There's something about sexual immorality. There's something about sexual sin that leaves its mark upon a person, that leaves scars and damages us as people. And it's true. It's absolutely true. You can talk to so many people who are psychologically and emotionally damaged because of sexual immorality. Now, one of the most horrific manifestations of sexual immorality would be molestation. That would certainly be in the category of sexual immorality, and of course it would be the perpetrator who would be the sexually immoral person, not the victim. But the world is full of psychologically and emotionally damaged people because they were sexually abused or molested at some point in their life. And it's left a deep scar upon them. And they spend so much of their lives, you know, trying to work through this and trying to sort it out. And that's what we're talking about here. But that's an extreme example, but it's a prevalent thing in our society, isn't it? So many people have had that experience. And anyone who's had that experience knows the damage that has been left as a result of that. You know, there's something about the way we're created and the way everything is all, you know, intertwined together, our body, our soul, our spirit, and the sexual element of it. There's something there. We don't even really totally understand it. But when somebody's violated in that type of a way, it can leave a lifelong scarring for them. And quite often, the only way to ever recover is through a miraculous touch from God for many, many people. And thank God that he does do that and he does heal. But, you know, it isn't only true of somebody who has been forced into a sexual situation. And we could take it beyond a molestation to a rape or something like that. And, of course, that's another radically traumatic and horrific kind of a thing. But again, the perpetrator would be in the category of a sexually immoral person. But then even when it comes to consensual sexual relationships that do not result in lifelong partnerships, marriage, and all of that, you find that there again, you see the damage. You see the psychological, the emotional damage, the betrayal that people have experienced, and the hurt, how they, you know, especially with the women, they've given themselves entirely to this man, and now he's betrayed them, and he's, you know, walked away and gone off with another woman or something like that. You know, all of these things are realities. This is life. This is the world we live in. So when we take our bodies and we use them in a way that God said we're not to, there are consequences. There's the consequence of unwanted pregnancies. Unwanted pregnancies, of course, that's what happens so often, isn't it, with sexual immorality. It results in a pregnancy, and quite often it's a pregnancy that isn't wanted. 50 million babies have been aborted in this country since 1973. 50 million. Can you imagine that? That's more than the population of the state of California. 50 million. So people say, oh, well, sexual immorality, you know what? I mean, come on, just having fun with my girlfriend. And, you know, what does it do? It results in a pregnancy that wasn't wanted, wasn't intended. So what's the next step? Oh, well, we'll just take care of it. And an abortion takes place. And talk about damage. Yes, there's severe damage. A life is taken. An innocent life is taken. Did you know that from the time the Chinese implemented their one child policy, the male child thing, 330 million babies have been aborted in China. 330 million. That's more than the population of this country. That's 30 million more people than are in the United States of America have been aborted, have been murdered. Now, it's a different situation there to some degree because it's a forced thing by the government. And people don't have the choice. But of course, in our situation, most abortions are the result of an unwanted pregnancy that came about through. But then there's also the damage to the body itself that is so often not mentioned when the subject comes up. You know, look, let's be honest. You know, when you in the culture that we're in, the sex-driven culture, the advertising, you know, everything's sexually oriented. I mean, the whole picture is it's all fun. It's all excitement. It's all, man, this is where you want to be. This is what you want to be doing. You know, when you're a kid, when you're a teenager and you start thinking about sex and all that, this is all exciting stuff. This is all great. Oh, can't, you know, all that enticement and everything. But there's a whole other side that nobody ever mentions. Nobody ever considers. And of course, it's everything we're talking about. It's all the damage that it does to you emotionally and psychologically and the potential, you know, abortions and so forth. But then there's the physical damage. Now, in 2008, the Center for Disease Control said that there were 110 million sexually transmitted diseases diagnosed in this country. 110 million. That's a third of the population. Sexually transmitted diseases. Now, they did clarify that not the 110 million didn't represent people, it represented diseases. So one person could conceivably have more than one disease. But nevertheless, it's a very high number. Sexually transmitted diseases. And here's what is rarely ever told. What is rarely ever told is the consequences of contracting a sexually transmitted disease. STDs can have, according to the CDC, very painful long-term consequences, as well as immediate health problems. They can cause birth defects, blindness, bone deformities, brain damage, cancer, heart disease, infertility, and other abnormalities of the reproductive system, as well as mental retardation, as well as death. See, nobody's talking about this. Nobody's saying anything about this. Everybody's bending over backwards to help everybody get out and have as much sex as they want, and trying to lower the age all the time. You know, again, in the UK, the age of consent, I think the last time I saw the age of consent was 13 years old. And they're constantly trying to lower it. 13 years old. And it's just, again, it's this whole mentality of just, you know, just get out there and have as much sex, have as much fun. This is all good and it's wonderful. And yet there's a side to it that is deadly. And very few people are talking about it. And when it comes to talking about the deadly element there, of course, we are reminded of AIDS. According to the Center for Disease Control, 336,000 people have died of AIDS in the United States since 1981. 336,000 people, that's a lot of folks. Since 1981. And again, according to the CDC, this is from their website. Actually, it says this: gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men of all races and ethnicities remain the population most profoundly affected by HIV. So even though, you know, some years ago there was a big thrust to say, well, this really wasn't a sexually transmitted disease, the fact of the matter is that out of all of the people who have HIV in this country, 77% of the HIV patients contracted it through male-to-male sexual contact. See, this is the reality of what sin does to the body. This is why God says to be holy, for I am holy. This is why God says that we are to know how to possess our bodies in sanctification and impurity. Not because God is trying to keep us from some wonderful thing. It's because God is trying to save us from some destructive things. So you see, God's intention is always for our benefit. It's not to deprive us. It's for our benefit. As I said earlier, God made us as sexual creatures, but he also gave us the rules for sex. If we violate them, we put ourselves at risk, both spiritually and physically.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson, as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Sex and the Christian, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again in a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Sex and the Christian. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0198. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. 6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBrodersen and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBrodersen. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.